You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
And hello from Jessica here in the 3CR studio.
And hello from Daryl.
And yeah, we've had a bit of an exciting week here.
We certainly have.
Yep. In Nam. But first of all, yes, this is the Breadline, the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And if anyone is having trouble with Centrelink hassles or Job Centre hassles, get on to us at advocacy@auwu.org.au. So yeah, so it's Homelessness Awareness Week. Did you know that, Daryl?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Yeah, there's been a lot on.
Very important.
Subject. Yeah, and of course it is unfortunately the time when all the sort of established charities that are making money and enhancing their reputations by seeming to help homeless people also get out and about, but more on that later. Mm. But there was a great rally on Saturday in the middle of the city. And
save the towers, housing towers,
and not just the towers too, the walk-ups and so on. So all public housing really is under threat by the current government, and there's actually 44 towers which they are slating for demolition by 2051, they say.
I'm surprised they're going for the walk-ups as well. Now I'm getting a bit nervous about my place.
Well, I mean, anyone really in public housing is, you know, has to keep their ear to the ground strongly and keep an eye on the government, because we say that in Wonthaggi as well, a lot of the public housing is in really prime locations, so therefore it's very valuable land and who knows. So the rally, it was around 2,000 people, really good roll up of
a lot of people.
I was happy that I met a few other people from Wonthaggi, Bass Coast area, so we all held up a sign, Save Public Housing, on behalf of our area.
And I met some of Hank's neighbours.
Yeah, that's right. And there was also a great number of speakers. I mean, I don't know if other 3CR shows have actually recorded. I saw a lot of recording going on and actually did an interview with someone from 3CR. But for Breadline listeners, it was a great rally. And then we marched up the hill to Holmes Vic, and it was the first time I'd been outside that building. Which is interesting because we've got ex-employees from Holmes Vic who are working for the local council down my way. And it was sort of interesting to see the building. And then we had, once again, great speakers just talking about how living, you know, on the street or in insecure housing really just affects their well-being, and how amazing it is when you actually get a place. There were people there from Barrett Beacons, which, as people, listeners might know, was demolished. That was an example of one of the first ones that got demolished under the current government. And then we also went up to Parliament. A few people had a bit of a sit down. I did.
It's a long walk, wasn't it?
And again, lots of great speakers and people really determined, I think, to keep on with this fight. And that leads us into this morning. So this morning there was a very early morning lock-on by our co-presenter Hank. So he locked himself onto some drilling machinery at Flemington Road and one of the big towers. And, of course, I saw early this morning that it was happening and started getting stirred up. So I came into town, but I missed it. But apparently they held up the work for 2.5 hours. But he had a bit of a rough time. You talked to him, Daryl.
Well, it's he didn't achieve much, but he said he was glad he held them up a bit because they did lose a bit of money from that.
It buoys up the people who are actually getting these threatening visits. So what's happening to the people in the towers is they're getting these visits face-to-face, basically pushing them to take relocation by September. And these relocations could be anywhere on the outskirts of Melbourne, quite way away from their communities, as the speakers said. And
yeah, they lose touch with everybody. And not only that, there's, you know, they're often put out there with no social...
No networks, no support, no anything. All the things that you have in a community, they're actually wrenched away from.
Infrastructure. That's what I was looking for, yeah.
And so, yeah, Hank asked me to say that he had great support from the other picketers this morning, and it was a really good feeling to sort of do that effort of getting up super early. And really, they even picked him up from the police station afterwards. There are ongoing pickets.
He didn't get a lot of support from the construction workers, though.
They were a bit, they hassled.
Well, while he was chained up to the drill there, they turned on the water that they use with the drill to stop it from overheating as they're using it.
It was a freezing morning too.
They got him soaked. And then they started tightening up something that his foot was in, and they started cutting off the circulation. So this is the construction workers, not the police.
Mm.
So the construction workers have no problems hurting anyone that gets in their way.
That's the thing. That's why I suppose the importance of solidarity and actually people going down to those pickets. So there's a big lot of people there. And so if you want to find out where the rest of the pickets are for the rest of this week, just contact Rahu, RAHU, Rental and Housing Union, .org.au, or on Instagram, RAH Union. So keep in touch, listeners. And that was a great bit of fight back, both the rally and then the picket this morning. And we only just hope for the success and that people can actually stay in their communities.
Yeah.
Another thing that's happening in my area that I'm pretty stirred up about, well, of course, there's the ongoing homelessness, people getting kicked out of places. And as I mentioned before on the show, the caravan park where people have had their permanent tenancies cancelled. There's also, various existing charities who, again, have made their name by, as I said, and name and reputation were supporting people, but they're doing this sort of strange thing where they occupy a park with these tents. So they're not tents that people are actually living in. They're basically props, and they've done this before, and I think it's a bit of a joke myself.
Props.
Well, the tents are just sitting there in the park, and then they're going to put a free Barbie on. Well, a free Barbie's all right because anyone can have that.
Yeah.
But I really object to tents being used as just part of basically a fake installation. And that gets me pretty revved up. So I'm going to be making that point strongly. Housing's a human right. It's not something that people should be begging for. And I don't really see the point. Yeah. No, I don't really see the point in these sort of these little funny displays. I know when they did it last time, it was so bad. They had a little fake campfires and some tins of beans sitting around. And we'll probably be taking along some free stuff to try and make it a bit more cheery. But it's a little bit of something, you know, how every week there's a special week for something. Well, this is Homelessness Awareness Week, but we don't really think that we want real support and real housing, not fake installations.
Yeah.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Yeah, we're back on air with Breadline, the Australian Unemployed Workers Union show. And now we've got, because of the week, we've got a series of interviews with people who are homeless and just talking about what they've gone through. So this was originally aired on 3CR Breakfast last Thursday, and it's part of a panel discussion at last Saturday's open house event at the Victorian Quaker Centre, which was a collaboration between Homeless in Hotels and two audiovisual artists. And the panel was titled Security, Surveillance in the Street, the Recent Criminalisation of Homelessness. and it had a number of people speaking there. And so some, and one of those people speaking had gone out to interview other people, so on the streets. So we also thank Amy Chiara from 3CR's Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence for sharing this recording with us. So let's have a listen, Daryl.
Okay.
Yeah, so when Crownland security come up to you, they've got guns on them, you know, so they stand there, you know, all around you with guns on them, you know. It's like, it's not the best feeling, you know. And in terms of your belongings, it's hard to keep your stuff secure, you know, because you've either got to keep everything on you, which is hard. You've got blankets and your clothes and stuff. Yeah.
Do you think it's council workers taking your stuff, like?
They do that. But that's generally if people will leave their stuff, like sitting somewhere, like in the way. Like, you know, say if you walk along and you might see someone's stuff just sitting there. Yeah, the council come along and move that. But look, honestly, you know though that they'll do that, so you shouldn't leave your stuff sitting there. Look, they shouldn't really take it anyway. I mean, it's people's blankets, you know what I mean? And especially in winter, like, mate, it's cold, you know what I mean? It's not warm, so you need your blankets. And it's not just easy just to go and go, oh, I'll just go buy a blanket. If you've got no money, you can't afford one. So again, generally, when it happened to me, it was winter, it was not too long ago. I was sitting here, all I had was like a thin jacket over me. You know, it was 1 degree. And luckily someone came up to me and put a blanket over me, you know, like just a member of the public. So yeah, I was so grateful for them. But then I got something else. But yeah, you've got to keep your stuff on you, mate. Otherwise, I've got to carry everything around me every day. So otherwise it'll get stolen.
Have you ever been threatened in the city of Melbourne? Uh-huh. Or do you feel threatened in the city of Melbourne by cops?
I don't know if I've been threatened. The way they talk to you makes you feel like have they kicked you out and they feel like they intimidate you. They intimidate you. You feel like they intimidate you, especially when the Crownland security guys come. The police, they'll come and just, you know, they have once actually not too long ago. They threatened me to, they said, if you don't move, you'll be arrested and you'll get done for, I can't remember what it was he said. He said something, and so I got up and had to leave. So yeah, they have once. That wasn't too long ago. But they've been around heaps. I know that they've been told to basically try to rid the place of the homeless, the city. I don't know whether it's because an event's coming or something like that. I know that, like, when they had the Australian Open, when they do that, there's an extra crackdown. They make sure there's not as much people. Homeless around, because they feel, you know, they want the visitors and all that to feel safe and all that, but it is what it is, mate.
I've been threatened with my life before, you know, and just, I don't know whether he was joking around, but I'm not going to, you know, they even shattered my wrist, the PSO officers shattered my wrist one time in Southern Cross.
Do you feel safe in the CBD?
Like, I do, but only because it's been so long now and I've got friends around, we stick to each other. But look, give an example, a couple of nights ago, I was just sitting here and a guy went by, three guys went by, they were drunk, and he just kicked me in the stomach. Just booted me in the gut, and then they kept walking, you know? So, yeah, it happens, but that's life, mate.
Yes, yes and no. You know, just, you know, when people say, you know, stay safe, I don't know how you're supposed to do that, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen, basically, so, you know.
That's what makes me feel unsafe. Probably just if, like I said, the worst feel is when the police and that move you on. You feel like you got nowhere to go when, especially I and I know a couple of other people, we just try to stay out of the way, you know, try to find a little alcove somewhere. I don't try to sit in front of shops and door and stuff like that, or where people's walkway, like where I am now. I try to stay in a little way where I'm just out of the way. That's all I want. I just want to stay out of the way. But
drunk people, intoxicated people, you know, they're the worst. Yep.
Do you think the city of Melbourne does enough to support the homeless community?
not in terms of the government or the council, but people are pretty good. You know, you can't fault the people of Melbourne. You know what I mean? They're pretty good. Always ask if you need something, you need something to eat and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'll give it to them. If anyone out there knows me from Jimmy from and Collins Street, I thank all them that helped me. So,
have you ever had stuff taken by the City of Melbourne?
Oh, yeah, council. Yeah.
Can you describe what?
Bedding, clothes, everything. Just everything you own, they just take. They want to keep you at that level, so they keep getting funding, you know. That's what it seems like to me.
What do you think the City of Melbourne should be doing?
Well, honestly, I think, you know, when you look at the money that, like, they spend on, like, the train stations that they're building, which is just an absolute, it's ridiculous. I feel a bit, you know, intimidated in that. Imagine what it's like for the girls and the females out there. You know, like the one that got raped not too long ago from where I stay. You know, like, it'd be terrible for them. So they could do a lot more. Even housing, I know people that tell me that they live in a housing block and there's like all these empty houses near them. Well, why aren't they housing people like me?
How would you describe the treatment that homeless people get by cops and security guards?
Oh no, not good at all. Not good at all. Just less than human, mate. Just less than human. I just hope they end up there, you know, so they can see what it's like. That's all. That's all.
Do you think that the rights of homeless people are respected?
No. Not at all. You know, just they categorise you. You know, they put you in the, you know, too hard basket, I guess.
Do you think there's enough support for homeless people?
They act like there is a lot of support and all this, but there's really not a whole lot. They'd rather employ, what is it, Crown Land Security and kick you off, you know, every street corner they can. Especially when there's big events on, they clean up the streets and all that. And when COVID was on, it just shows you that they can house the homeless, but they just don't want to.
And you're back with Breadline on 3CR. And what you just heard was a very interesting interview from the streets. You could tell it was the streets because I could hear the pedestrian things going bip, bip, bip.
Yeah.
And so that was thanks to Thursday Breakfast from last week. They broadcast that, those interviews, as well as a panel discussion about homelessness, because it is Homelessness Awareness Week.
Yeah, it was a very, very good interview, especially from someone that's living it.
Yeah, a couple of
out
people
in the streets too,
from what I could tell. Yeah,
yeah.
And we know what they've been doing up in Queensland, where they've been demolishing people's tents and things. And as a couple of those guys mentioned about losing their stuff, and there was an interview, it was on, I think it was in the papers, yeah, about a woman who just went off somewhere for a little while and came back and all her stuff was gone. So
yeah, that's
your few possessions. You shouldn't have to stand there and just guard them all the time.
Well, no, it's incredible. So, well, that's theft.
Yeah,
really?
That's right. Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to mention a couple of things. It was a couple of weeks ago now, but I like to refresh these things sometimes. The Australian Tax Office wiped nearly a $1 billion tax debt owed by former Prime Minister Paul Keating. Now, Jess, if you owed the tax office 5 cents, do you think they would let you get away with that?
No, they'd be right onto it.
Right, of course they would. They'd move heaven and hell to get it. And 75% of First Nations people can't access their super because they don't have a MyGov or email account, especially in remote areas. One example of a guy who has no computer, no internet, no phone, and no utility bills to prove who he is. You know what the super fund said? Just get online.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like a guy like that, he probably wouldn't even know what a computer looked like.
Again, that's why should you have to? If that's not your thing, why should you have to get your head around a computer?
Yeah, exactly. It's because they're so hard to learn, you know, for the first time too.
And also when you're stressed, because you've got a reason for being stressed.
Yeah, exactly. It's all right for kids that grew up with computers. Like, you know, they can't imagine a world without computers. It's really hard for people like us to imagine that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
When I came from a time when we were still using fountain pens and having winding up the gramophone to play our records.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that was my first touch of music, playing old 78s.
Right, okay. I remember 78s, but I don't really remember a wind-up. You're not winding me up, are you?
No. Well, they didn't work by – a lot of things didn't work by electricity back then, and like clocks and things like that. And even the gramophones, they, you know, had this steel handle with a wooden handle, and you just wind it up, and you had to be careful not to wind it up too much. And then that's it. The record just plays, and you alter the speed by adjusting this felt that was on a hinge, and depending on how hard you put the felt on the rim,
it spun
of
faster.
The record plate. Yeah. Helped to steady the speed.
Well, you got any more there, Daryl?
No, that's all.
Yeah,
I got,
good point. Anyway, about having being forced to go on computers. I was just going to remind people, for the last few weeks we have been banging on about the Ombudsman, who's about to issue a report next week. So we might be covering that on next week's Breadline. But there's a new report, of course, that says they don't know what they're doing with their own tech, the Department of Social Security. And they actually had a review of the their technological problems, which cost $435,000. Say no more, really. We're going to go out.
My mate Slob, he's a technician. I reckon he could have done it for half the price.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're listening to Breadline, and we're going to go out with a couple of songs now. And next week you'll be hearing from Caitlin and Jessica and me. We'll be doing a bit of a show, and hopefully you got those emails earlier. I mean, those email addresses, Rahu Union and rahu.org.au, if you want to support those pickets. So there's going to be, first of all, Tracy Chapman talking about a revolution, followed by Walk Alone by Tidass. So you hear from us next week.
Okay.
Okay. Bye from us.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.